Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And now on OMF.
What Teddy did, he had a great passion for it. Always working hard.
Patriots Hall of Famer and New England legend.
Stop tweeting and get in your playbook.
Three-time Super Bowl champ. The best football analyst anywhere on the Boston airwaves.
It is intercepted by Teddy Bruschi. Teddy Bruschi has done it again.
Full tilt, full time.
Teddy Bruschi being brought to you by Kaplansky. They shop so you save at Kaplansky.com. Joining us live on the Harbor One Hotline, the return of Teddy Bruschi. Good afternoon,
my guys,
Mr. Bruschi. Happy New Year. How are you?
What up,
bro? What's up, fellas? It's good to be back. How's it going?
I don't even know where to start with you. I feel like I haven't talked to you in forever. There's so much to talk about.
So let's go a week without a brew.
I can't go a week without a brew, and it's been like 4 weeks without a brew.
Unbelievable.
In a while, Foyer. Let's go.
How do you feel about the Harden trade? Break that down for us, please, Teddy. What do you think about his lateral quickness?
Nobody wants to hear me talk basketball, man. Oh, no.
I tell you what, this is the most confusing thing. There are so many bodies and then draft picks and everything else. The most confusing thing in the world. So let's start with the coach. One, were you surprised that he turned down that Presidential Medal of Freedom? The first part of the question. Second part, are you a little bit surprised that it's not good enough for some people out there who are still being critical of him?
Yeah, man, I think Bill knows he can't please everybody, but you know, I'm proud of him for what he did, and I say that not with any feelings of President Trump or President-elect Biden or how I feel in that aspect, but just proud of my coach based on, I would say, the awareness he showed in declining, I think it was the Medal of Freedom, I think it was, to and not go down there and just saying no, because him being aware more now of his players' lives off the field. And when I played for Bill, it was few and far between in terms of what things were like for me at home, what things were like for me off the field. It was important if it affected me and my performance on the field. I mean, we don't want you to get in trouble and all of that, but it was all about football, the whole aspect of your position, all of that, mainly that. And I think there's been awakening with Bill in terms of 2020 with COVID and the social justice issues, that him learning what it's like to be a black man in America, those type of things. Leaders like Devin McCourty, Matthew Slater, sort of letting them in certain conversations of this is what it's like for us and we're trying to make you more aware. And I think Bill turning down this medal, I think it's the biggest honor a civilian can have.
It is.
Just to say, you know, I'm with you guys. I think that's an important message that he has to and had to sort of convey, because that's what it says. I'm aware of my players. I'm aware of what they're going through, and I'm with them. And that's why, you know, I'm so proud of him, what he did. Not so much about politics or anything like that, fellas. He's more connected now to his locker room than I think he's been in a long, long time.
Yeah, Teddy, I thought it was probably a real easy decision for him. I don't think there was, I don't know how much you could debate this and think it over. I think he's pretty aware, to your point, about what was going on, being able to react to it. It's not like he hasn't been around other crazy situations where he had to release statements and make difficult decisions. So I really don't think there was that much really debate about it. What do you think?
That I don't know. I mean, you'd have to ask Bill, but I'd like to think that the way that I know Bill, okay, let's put it this way. He considered everything, and he took the opinions of people that he trusts. He considered both sides, and, of course, that's how he does all equations in his life, I'm sure, and I'm sure that's the way he came to the decision.
Do you think, because there is, it's weird, because there is some criticism based on why. Like, oh, self-preservation. Oh, you know, just he's just doing it to protect his legacy. Do you think that's fair?
I don't. I think people will look into it and nitpick it. It's easy to do because this is, fellas, this is a time where, you know, people are very emotionally fired up about everything in terms of Trump against towards Biden, towards social justice, those type of things. And Bill is probably, I mean, a handful of names that define, you know, American sports. Well, you're talking about the NFL, so everything's going to be nitpicked. But I think his connection, this is more, you know, team-wide, individual-wide. I love the statement that he put out. I mean, he recognized the responsibility he has not only as an American, but towards, you know, the New England Patriots and his players. And like I said earlier, I think that's just an important thing to do today. There's a lot of people, and I'm sure there are a lot of people in the locker room that were looking closely once it was announced that he was going to be honored about what he would do. And I think I absolutely would agree with his decision here.
Yeah, no, Teddy, that's the other side of it, too. We got into talking about the rebuild that this team kind of has and free agents. You know, it's, I don't know how that would go over with free agents. Who knows? And when you lose a guy like Nick Caserio, who's been here for years, he's down there in Houston. I want to get your opinion on that whole situation. The Jack Easterby story down in Houston and Caserio being down there. Do you see that thing working for him, or is that just a complete mess right now?
Yeah, Easterby.
Uh-oh.
It looks like he's calling the shots. And I'll just say this. Let me just say this plainly, that Nick's got a great football mind, but for that organization, I think this is the wrong decision. I think him being a general manager, it was inevitable for him to get his team. He's that good. I have that much faith in him and what he's done with the New England Patriots, along with Bill Belichick, but, you know, it just seems like the recycled type of thing there. And that, I think that's why Deshaun Watson is looking at it this way. It's like, bro, I mean, are we going to go ever in a different direction to get a different vibe in the organization? Who is this Easterby guy? Where did he come from? I don't see any football background. I'm talking as if I am Deshaun Watson here. And that's just the way he's going to see it. So, and I agree with it. It's like, man, you're just, okay, reset button, but it's the same thing. And I can see how Houston Texan players, starting with their quarterback, they're like, man, what are we doing?
All right, so you know the next 2 or 3 months, the biggest question in New England is going to be who will be the quarterback for the New England Patriots on opening day. Patriots are drafting 15th, so they probably can't get one of those guys up at the top of the draft. Maybe they can drop and get the fifth best quarterback. Bunch of free agents. Garoppolo may be let go by the 49ers. Who knows, or traded. Who's the starting quarterback for the Patriots?
Oh, boy.
Well, describe to me a quarterback. This is why I think it's going to be so difficult, and maybe Garoppolo's the way to go because he's been in New England before and played under Tom Brady and been in a stadium where there are all those banners to look up to and know that he was somewhat of a part of it. Any other quarterback, why do you want to follow Tom Brady? I mean, you're always going to be compared to the successes in the past, and that's going to make it a tough job. That's going to make it a job to where, I mean, guys will come in, I can't live up to that. You know, I think the pressure is higher than ever in New England in terms of who the next quarterback's going to be. You better have some guts to come in here. I'll tell you that right now, because from day one, it's going to be like, okay, we're ready for a Super Bowl championship. It's like, and you got to deliver it because that's just what they're used to here. I think Garoppolo knows that. I think it's possible Garoppolo can even say, yeah, you know what? I can do it. I know how it's done. To me, maybe that's the best option because of the amount of pressure that the new guy's going to have, fellas. I mean, it's going to be a hard, hard task.
So, Teddy, come on, put your Adam Schefter hat on and give us some inside information on Jerod Mayo.
Okay.
It's your guy. So, the Philadelphia, it looks like he's going to, you know, get an interview. Now, do you think, do you think he's ready? Do you think he's ready to be a head coach?
Yeah. Well, it's early.
Yeah.
It's early. I mean, Jerod's been on that staff a couple years. I think that's the one most positive thing I can say about Jerod is there's a lot of people that need literally like hands-on experience to learn certain things. Like, okay, for this scouting thing, I got to be in there for 2 years. For this, head coach thing, I need a previous experience. Or the offensive side of the ball, I think Jerod can learn without that hands-on experience. That's how smart I think he is. Way early, possibly, but why not? Why not? I mean, you talk about recycling Nick Caserio because of Easterby in Houston. I just went over about how I think that's the wrong thing to do because it's the same old thing over and over again. So, you know, Miami took a chance on B-Flow. All right, do you take a chance on Jerod Mayo? Because now head coaches and the schemes and all of that stuff is overrated. Because what now with the modern players, I believe, is the new coaches have to really not only have their trust because when it goes bad, all right, and all them schemes you brought in that you say, oh, this didn't work in the past, fellas, but this is going to work. Well, what happens when it doesn't? You know, it doesn't work, and I don't like you. Man, get out of here. But it doesn't work, and you know what? But, you know, it does work, and you got my back, and mm-hmm. I can relate to you, mm-hmm. so tell me how we get out of it. I trust you enough, and that's where the head coach comes in. And I tell you, in terms of I played a year with Jerod and how the guys gravitate to him, and I tell you, if there was a guy, you guys bring up the foxhole, he'd be in that foxhole, and as a head coach, everyone would have that
foxhole
sort of
guy. He's a foxhole guy.
Yeah, I like that. Foxhole guy.
Foxhole.
Like there
foxhole
it is. Guy. I mean, if you just want to sum up the last 2 minutes of mine and say foxhole guy, you can do that. But that's how I feel about Jerod.
Teddy, you're talking about like being that quarterback and having to have guts here, right, to be able to play and everything else. And I think you know Cam comes in here, but nobody looks at him like he's the future. Right? You know what I mean? It's Cam Newton, and maybe you get a couple years out of him. So be it. But if you are taken 15th overall and you are a quarterback in the first round, you are viewed as the future. Is that something you see the Patriots doing, grabbing a guy like maybe a Mac Jones who is there? Because that's the real pressure, isn't it, being that next first-round guy to take over?
It is. It is. If that's what Bill likes in terms of that quarterback, I haven't watched a lot of Mac Jones, fellas. I'm knee-deep in the NFL during the week, so I did see the national championship game, those type of things. You got Devontae Smith, and it helps, you know. But if he does come here, I know what Bill's goal would be is that team around him's got to be strong.
Yep.
So, I mean, you're looking at other aspects. I mean, I just look at that linebacker position, fellas, and how every single week I saw Duggar, I saw Phillips, whoever it was out there trying to play off the ball linebacker and take on guards, and I'm like, man, they must be really bad at that position. If this is the case, because I love the way them two safeties grinded in there, but that's really not the way it should be for successful defenses. So, I mean, that's my whole thing. That's my whole sort of, you know, sort of quirk about the season, especially defensively. It's like, man, I mean, can we get a couple guys in there with 50 numbers that can get the job done? So, I mean, I think that's a big thing for that next year, but if that rookie quarterback comes in, you got to be strong around him to have immediate success. If not, you know, you'll be picking, you know, top 15, maybe top 10 if a rookie quarterback comes in here and plays and starts, you know, all 16.
Teddy Bruschi joining us as he always does here on Wednesday. So let's get into the NFL playoffs and let's talk about Tom. He's in the playoffs, Patriots or not. So I've heard this over the years. It is so hard to beat a team three times during the course of a season. Then I looked up the numbers. So teams that have won the first two games, Teddy, they win the third game 67% of the time. Why is that so difficult? Two-thirds of the time, they win that third time. They have been blown out, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, by New Orleans twice. Blown out, not even in the game, not even competitive. How do they come back and win this game?
Yeah, Phil, I'm trying to. I mean, I rewatched both games and, you know, of course, the playoff games and all that stuff with these two teams, and I'm like, okay, how can this Buccaneer team figure something out to beat the Saints? Because, I mean, I'd say Bruce Arians and adjustments I really don't put in the same sentence. And I say that because the whole, this is what we do, we're going to throw it down the field, but we'll just get it better this time because we're just better. And we've had more history with each other, and now we've got a few weeks, and we're just better. That's the one thing that's sort of taken me away from the Buccaneers and leaning towards the Saints in this game just because of that lack of change. I mean, listen, the culture change has somewhat changed in Tampa Bay. They led the league last year in penalties. I think this year they're like middle of the pack now. And Tom Brady's the reason, okay? I mean, they started out that week one game versus the Saints. They had 9 penalties. I mean, they're jumping off sides in 4th and 2. They're doing things so stupid that it's like this team's done, you know? But they started improving it a little bit, but then they get blowout by the Saints. I think it was week 11. So I don't know what they're going to do. Because this Saints team's really good, and I think the Saints team is better coached.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is definitely a tough matchup. But so, other than that game, is there one that you that intrigues you more than others? Like, what is the other than that game? Is Buffalo, Baltimore, Rams?
It's all the way. It's you know, Cleveland, Kansas City, not so much. I mean, I love Cleveland and how they beat Pittsburgh, and that's
so. Why Buffalo? Baltimore?
Well, Buffalo, Baltimore, because there you are, the contrasting styles on how they see offensive football, and you know, Baltimore being the run team with the running quarterback, and then Buffalo having almost a similar player, the caliber of Patrick Mahomes. Because I mean, I love watching Josh Allen play, but I hate him, literally, because it's just like, man, what in the world are these guys supposed to do against that? I mean, the scrambling, the pump fake, and then I think it was Kenny Moore, the Colts up in the air, and he just goes right around him and makes this throw that is so sick that I'm watching it with the Sunday Countdown crew, like, thinking, oh, my God. Goodness, how do you defend that? And that's where the sort of hate thing comes on, because defensively it's just so hard, and that's what I'm looking forward to see. I just wish there were fans over at Orchard Park so they could experience, because that was always a great place to play. But, man, this Buffalo team's playing so well, and I want to see if Baltimore's style of pressure defense and power football can beat that in today's NFL. I don't know if it's possible, because the similar sort of aspect over the Chiefs and the Browns is sort of similar, but to see that Baltimore-Buffalo game is something I'm looking forward to a lot.
See, yeah, and I understand, because Josh Allen can run, but I would think, like, I'm watching that Baltimore game, and when Lamar Jackson gets going, it's like you're watching Tennessee and you're saying, okay, how long can you stay disciplined, right? Like, keeping that edge, yep, and not letting him get outside, because all it takes is one time. Like, that would be something I would think that you would have a, you know, just as a defender, being like, it's exhausting, because it's just one time.
Great point, Lou, because just one time, I mean, just the one time late in the game when the Tennessee linebacker Rashawn Evans went a little too wide.
And he was great the whole time.
And then, boom, and yeah, you got to be right the whole time, and bang, Lamar Jackson is gone. And then studying Buffalo this year, like watching them versus Kyler when they played the Arizona Cardinals, mm-hmm, and Kyler was running loose on him at times. And then going back, I think it was week 14 last year when they played the Ravens, I think it was, and then Lamar doing things against them there. So it is a boring physical game that you got to play defensively if you're Buffalo. And those edge defenders like Addison and Hughes, they better be good. They better be really good, because they'll be even left unblocked sometimes. And that's what makes it so fascinating and so frustrating at the same time.
You mentioned Cleveland, and I've got to bring them up before we close out, because I don't think anybody, if you watch that first half, and everything that they were hit with during the course of the week, 8 players out, the coach is gone, no practice sessions, everything else. You're playing a playoff game, and you're playing in Pittsburgh. And to see that thing unfold, I don't know, Teddy, you tell me. I don't think everybody was amazed watching that thing unfold. How much of that was just Pittsburgh?
I'm so glad that happened, because it's a better example for me to just know that anything can happen. and anybody can be beat on any day. So now I can sort of put that loss we had when we were 18-0 and we lost to the Giants. So now I'm like, oh, yeah.
Wait, that game makes you feel better about that? That game
is no coach, not his players. You didn't even practice. Anybody can be beat. Look at that. I mean, that's just. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening right now, but it just reinforces the fact to me about this game and that how mental it is.
Yep.
And how if you're not emotionally there, because it's almost them Steelers. I mean, Pouncey coming off the field after that snap, it's like, boom, he's done, you know? And how you can't, if you can't mentally recover from a mistake or mentally just turn it around and be ready for anybody, you can be beat. And I believe it now more than ever. So am I picking an upset this week? Probably not.
Well, wait, maybe you can help us out, though. Teddy, maybe you want to be part of our little gambling wager we got going on. So we got this.
Oh, he's got some head, too. He's got some salad, too.
So right now, we've been picking games, and we started last week, you know, loser. So Lou has to shave his head.
Yep.
Glenn has to shave his mustache, and I have to shave an eyebrow. Just one eyebrow.
One eyebrow.
Oh, my God. So, why all the shaving, fellas?
I don't know. We're trying to embarrass each other.
Trying to get a sponsor for it.
Teddy,
I've seen your hair lately. I don't know if you want to get part of this.
Yeah, you don't want to be part of it.
You're pretty good at this stuff. I mean, they pay you a lot of money for this. I'm assuming you would feel pretty confident that you could win. So why don't we just wager your head of lettuce into the mix also?
Hey, fellas, I don't know. My hair is my moneymaker.
that's kind of like Lou. Like, Lou's in the same boat.
Listen, you're smart, Teddy.
Hey, it's that Italian-Filipino jeans, man. Teddy, my hair's not going anywhere.
You are smart, okay? Foyer's the one that brought up the freaking me shaving my head, so I said I want an eyebrow off of you. I wanted, you know.
Foyer, what in the eyebrow, man? I hope you lose, Foyer. I want to see that eyebrow.
I hope you lose this one.
What is messed up?
Teddy, that's the most embarrassing one, is one he tried to fool us by saying he would eat like a hot pepper or something.
I hate hot peppers.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Anybody who would have a pepper, that would not be a problem. All right, Teddy, we're going to talk to you next week, right?
Guys, absolutely. I'll see you next week, fellas. That's great.
You got it, bud. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Teddy Bruschi.
You too. Enjoy the games, guys. Bye.
On the Harbor One Hotline.